As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the second book of Samuel, chapter 18 and the 29th verse. And the king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" Second book of Samuel, chapter 18 and the 29th verse. I want, as the Lord shall help me, to say something on this subject, and it is a very sad subject, and it has a very solemn message for people nowadays to lay to heart, but especially those who desire to live the life of the righteous. You all know that Absalom was godly David's son. But as you read what the Word of God says about him, the record of his life is very solemn. And it is a question made very plain of sowing and reaping. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And Absalom, in his early life, and remember, he was a young man still when he died, you find that he continually was sowing to the flesh in the life he lived. And one thing is very noticeable, and that is pride was so manifest in Absalom. He was good looking. There were many things about him that were attractive. But his outstanding sin, as I view it, was pride. And it proved to be, ultimately, his downfall. And there is not only something for you and I to consider about Absalom and his life and death, but there is something that needs to be said concerning godly David, Absalom's father. And now it is very evident that David, although he was such a godly man, he was an indulgent father. And it is very easy to be an indulgent father. And it is plain that Absalom was an idol in his father's eyes. And he did not restrain him when he should have been restrained. And when great was his guiltiness before God and man, he even then allowed him to escape the consequences of his wrongdoing. But in the end, Absalom found that pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Absalom was left to rise up in rebellion against his godly father, whom God had instated on Israel's throne, and whom he designed still to reign thereon. Absalom sought to usurp that position and reign in his father's stead. And he was left to gather a multitude of Israel together to be on his side. And very solemn reading it is. And one thing in connection with it shows you to what lengths Absalom went when he rose up against his father, as I said, in rebellion. And it says here that after Absalom had killed his brother Amnon and then fled, the time came when he returned. And it says he came and to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed him. Godly David knew what he should be doing, because Absalom was guilty before God and man, but he did not rebuke him, and Absalom had respite. And then he said to his godly father, do listen. And it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron, for thy servant vowed a vow while I abode in Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. And the king said to him, go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. Here Absalom puts on the guise of religion, as though he was going to pay a vow before God. But he did nothing of the kind. And it was just blatant hypocrisy. For the next thing is, Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And much might be said in amplifying Absalom's life as he lived it just about that time. But, you see, godly David stepped down from Israel's throne through Absalom's rebellion and fled into the wilderness of Judea. And Absalom had his host on his side, and David's host went forth under Joab to do battle with Absalom. And the outcome of it was that Absalom died. And now David, when the battle had been raging and it was over, he was looking for news of how the battle had gone. And Joab sent a messenger named Cushai to carry the tidings. And I have often admired this in the wording of it. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise up against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. Listen, and as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son. Here you see, godly David's heart, his fatherly heart, was rent with grief because he knew there was no hope whatever concerning where Absalom's spirit was, because he had really died without God and without hope. But this was the thing that David was concerned about. And leaving Absalom a little while, I want to look at this question and work it out. Is the young man Absalom safe? But I just make this comment, and a question like this should lead to searching of heart among all godly fathers and mothers. You see, it is a great thing to be a godly father, a godly mother. And you can remember, many of you, as your family circle came, and maybe God enlarged it, giving you one child and then another. And when you had the first babe that you nursed, what was your concern then at family worship when that little babe arrived? It was that your God might be his or her God too. Ever have you followed that up under your home roof and in your family circle? Have you sometimes loosened a little, like godly David did, to be indulgent? And it may be allowed some things which, if you search the scriptures very closely, such things are not to be allowed. You may be sure that godly David had many searchings of heart over the death of Absalom. And the word of God is very plain. Train up a child in the way in which he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. But oh, my dear friends, it needs much grace for godly fathers and mothers to do it. But then I am bound to tell you this. That grace is to be had. He giveth more grace. And there is this word to encourage you in your felt need of divine aid to bring up your children aright and to set them the example that you desire. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Oh, that the Lord would help all godly fathers and godly mothers who do desire to have matters right in their family circle before God and man. Oh, that he might grant you all grace to help in every time of need. And if sometimes you are cast down and you feel discouraged, disappointed, because you do try to set right things before the children God has given you, and yet some of them as yet may not heed it, and they give evidence that they are just the subjects of the Adam fall, what are you to do? Still pray. The word of God encourages you. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And I have known of quite a few instances in my long ministerial life where children have been prayed for right down to the deathbeds of their fathers and mothers, with no sign whatever that the prayers were answered, but they were answered afterwards. When the fathers and mothers, all that was mortal of them, was going back earth to earth, ashes to ashes, and dust to dust. But now, I want to come to this particular question as it affects people nowadays. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? Now, first, this is a solemn question. The word safe implies there are dangers that threaten. And it is a very solemn consideration. Each one is journeying to an eternal goal, heaven or hell. There is a word in Job I sometimes look at, and it is very apposite. Snares are round about thee. And life is just like that for you, dear young people and children, as you go about in the world at large, whether it be in your school life or teenage life or later on. Snares are round about thee. And Satan is ever on the stretch to undo you and to bring to naught, if possible, all that your godly fathers and mothers have desired God to do for you. You remember that it says, "Then cometh the wicked one and snatcheth up the seed that was sown, ere it can take any root or have any effect in the sinner's life, fallen by the wayside." And Satan is still very busy in that line of things. But now, this is the thing to consider. Is the young man Absalom safe? Now, the word safe, I have said, implies dangers that threaten. Not only in everyday life as you live your lives going here and there, but it is a truth for all of you to consider. Be sure your sin will find you out, the Word of God declares. And that means this. If you and I are to be safe in journeying through life, then we must be found in a place where our sin cannot find us out. And is there such a place to be found? Blessed be God, there is. Yes, a refuge for sinners the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, the burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. And God has sent down into this world the word of his grace. And that word is to be to poor sinners in their felt need of it as a chart to aid them as they sail across life's sea. And it makes plain where the quicksands are, where the rocks are, and where it is safe journeying for those who desire to go heavenward as they journey on. But then, if you are to make use of the Word of God as a chart, there is this to be remembered. The eyes of the blind must be opened. You cannot read it to purpose and profit until that great miracle is wrought for you. And you remember the man in the gospel said, "One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I can see." That is just what we desire for you young people, you dear children, as you journey on, that your eyes may be opened and your hearts to receive the Word of God in its authority and life, and that it may be indeed to you a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. Godly David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." You cannot be safe only as you are found in that place where your sin will not find you out. And that place is Calvary's cross. And to be found there and realize an interest in that which was done thereon, you will be safe for time and eternity too. As we are born, none can be safe or ready to meet God. The word of God is plain. The soul that sinneth, it should die. There is none righteous, no, not one. And God's holy law, under which you and I were born, demands from us perfection, righteousness, to enable us to appear before God and live. But no sinner born can produce that righteousness. Righteousness to full perfection must be brought, lacking naught, fearless of rejection. Very solemn it is when that truth is opened up to you. Godly David said, "The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then cried I beseech thee, O Lord, deliver my soul." And there was a time in his life when he found deliverance, when he realized to his soul's joy there was a safe place where he could appear before God and live. And then he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." The dear man felt safe in his soul's experience, and that is the blessed experience that we who love you and wish you well desire you may know ere you die. And if you are helped to wait on God concerning it, you will realize that safety that exists in your soul's experience, which will enable you to feel, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Following that line of thought, ere I come to more especially what I want to say, think of how the Israelites, when they came up out of Egyptian bondage, on the night of the Passover, God had made provision for them that they should be safe. The destroying angel was to go throughout Egypt and kill the firstborn in every Egyptian home. But God designed that the Israelites should be safe. And so he ordained that every household must have a lamb, and the lamb was to be slain, and the blood of that slain sacrifice was to be sprinkled on the lintels of the door and the door posts. You see, death had been in that home already, with the lamb being slain. And God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." They were safe, yet death was elsewhere throughout the land of Egypt. No home in what there was not one dead, the word of God declares. I've sometimes thought about those families at that time when they were safely sheltered and the destroying angel was passing over. There they were, a family circle, and they had food to eat, but they were sheltered from the judgment of God. It could not reach where they were because the blood was sprinkled on the door. And that was the hallmark of being safe. And sometimes you sing, "They that in the Lord confide and shelter in his wounded side shall see all dangers overpast, stand every storm, and live at last. And what a word that is to think about. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And oh, that blood on the doors in Egypt where the Israelites dwelt is just to remind us of the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, which cleanseth us from all sin. Where that blood is known as the blood of sprinkling in a sinner's heart and on his conscience, there is blessed safety realized in one's soul. Safe for time, safe for eternity. A Jabez portion, a blessing indeed. And now I want to look at it from this viewpoint. I'm going to ask this question. Is the young man Absalom safe? And you must remember, it includes any young man, any young woman, any youth, any maid, or children. It is a question for each one to ponder as grace is given. This question can be answered in two ways. No. Is the young man Absalom safe? No. There may be some signs about that young man which make it very plain that he is by no means safe. Let us look at this negative one. Is the young man Absalom safe? No. If he is disobedient to his father and mother, if he turns his back on what they have to say for is good in this life, speaking out of their own experience, if he heeds it not, then he is not safe. Have you ever noticed in the Ten Commandments, first of all, you all know there is that which is to do with our attitude before God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And that brings us down to remembering the Sabbath day and keep it holy and not to take the name of the Lord in vain. But then, when you come to the fifth commandment, which is to do with what is our attitude to man, what it must be, it begins with, honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And if you fail to keep that one, whatever comes afterwards, you may be guilty of committing. But if you should keep that one, the fifth, it will be a wonderful help to you towards keeping the commandments that follow. You see, if it was said to you, the word of God says, thou shalt not kill, you would say, I do not want to do anything like that. And other commandments about covetousness and stealing and being unchaste, you may say, I do not want to break those commandments. But if you break the fifth one, it is more than possible you will break some of the others. In fact, you can break them all. And many a man has been hung on the gallows, and the first step toward that unhappy end was when he was disobedient to his father and mother. The road to ruin thus begins down, down, like easy stairs. And to emphasize that, I have written down here the last words of a poor young man who died on the gallows. And he said, just before he stepped into eternity, if I had followed what I was taught as a lad, I should not have come to this. Is the young man Absalom safe if he begins to be disobedient to what his fathers and mothers have to say for his lasting good? He is not safe. No. He is being caught in a snare. Is the young man Absalom safe? If he hates the things of God, if he heeds not his word, if he does not go up to the house of God only as he is driven by parental discipline, and he hates what is attended to there, the worship of God, the majesty of heaven, is that young man safe, whoever he is? No. Oh, it cannot be. He is still living as he was born, an enemy to God and godliness. Such an one cannot be safe. And if any day he should step out of time into eternity, in such a case, it will be without God and without hope. You see, long ago Moses said concerning Israel, "Oh, that they were wise! Oh, that they understood this! Oh, that they would consider their latter end!" But then young people think youth is the time when they can do as they like, and they want to be about in the world. And especially as the world is nowadays, there are thousands of temptations to catch their unwary feet. Is the young man safe if he is living for this world only? If he has got locked up in his heart that he will be this and he will do that, and some ambition whereby he may climb up the ladder and be in the limelight and the headlines and be what the world calls popular, such a life like that is just equivalent to blowing bubbles. The bubbles have a pretty colour, but ere you can discern what the colours are, they burst. And so it is with those who are aiming for this world only and are content with the things of the flesh and to be after the flesh. Is the young man safe if his mind is made up? Do listen. We will not have this man to reign over us. The carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. And if that is the attitude of any young man, young woman, youth or maid, and they ponder it in their hearts, "Depart from us, we desire not the knowledge of thee or thy ways," such can never be safe living such a life. There is only one thing to be said, and that is the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Going back to Absalom a moment, I said there was a time when David should have dealt very solemnly with Absalom in judgment because he was guilty before God and man. But David did not do that which he should have done to set an example to the nation at large. And Absalom was given respite. And now you read in regard to the plagues of Egypt. After two or three plagues, when there was deliverance, it says, "And when Pharaoh saw there was respite, he hardened his heart and would not take that notice which would have been for his good in those demands that Moses was instructed to make to let the children of Israel go. And now that might be so, I'm not putting any caps on, might be so, I say, with some young people. You were being warned. You were being counseled. You have heeded it not. And there are things that you have done that your godly fathers and mothers know nothing about. And what you young people use, one of your own phrases, you think you have got away with it. Have you? Be sure your sin will find you out, the word of God says. But because there is respite, and as yet you have not been found out, to suffer the consequences of whatever wrongdoing it may be, you are still hardening your heart. Oh, you are not safe. The thing is impossible. Then there is just another thought. You may think, and again I must say I'm not putting caps on, well, I do go to chapel. My father and mother wish me to go, and I do go. And I go to the Sabbath school too, and I have not complained about it, although I cannot say that I like it, but still, I do go to chapel and to the Sabbath school, and I go regularly. Well, if that is just the attitude that you feel regarding it, I say, is that young man, young woman safe who argues like that? Here is what will answer you in what you have read and heard read many times. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Listen. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. That's just what will happen to your lamp. You're going regularly to chapel and to Sabbath school and learning your texts and gathering up that measure of religion as you judge it to be. When you are to the crucial test, you will find your lamp has gone out because you have no oil. You see, there must be more than just chapel going. There must be getting in touch with God to worship him aright and to get some good for your soul and to be profited and instructed in the things of God, to have an ear to hear and a heart to receive. It is all important to have oil in our vessels with the lamp. Otherwise the lamp will just go out and you will be left undone before God and man. This is the answer then. In the negative, is the young man Absalom safe? No. If he behaves in the way I've just tried to describe a little, no. Oh, he needs something to be done. His eyes to be opened. His ears to be unstopped. And a new heart to be given. A new spirit implanted. In other words, ye must be born again. Let us look at the other side. Is the young man Absalom saved? It could not be said of Absalom. The answer for him was no. But now for other young people, youths and maids, we will answer it yes. If he has some good thing in his heart toward the Lord, do you remember Abijah? In him there is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel. Do you possess that good thing? Have you got an aching void within which this world cannot fill? And glad you would be if you could only be assured that you did possess that good thing. Oh, cry we to heaven with one loud accord, that to us be given the fear of the Lord. If that is how you feel, the answer for you is the young man, young woman, safe. Yes, God is at work in his and her breast. And that good work begun, he will carry on. He will complete it. In the afternoon service, we sung a hymn, and I wonder how some of you felt in singing it. The hymn writer as a petition, we humbly for thy coming wait, seeking to know thee as thou art. We bow as sinners at thy feet and bid thee welcome to our heart. Can you, dear young people, do that? Appeal to God. Enter my heart, Redeemer blessed. Enter, O ever-honored guest, not for a transient hour alone. O come and fix thy lasting throne. If that is how you feel, Jesus Christ says about you, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Is the young man safe? If he feels like David did in Psalm 84, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Oh, that is a good sign. If he can understand the choice that Moses made, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, the answer to such an one is yes. You're in a safe place. Although as yet you may not feel as you would like to feel, that matters are right between God and you, and the great question is put out of question, yet the word of God speaks well of you, and the Lord bless you. Is the young man saved? Let this be the test. If he desires, she desires then, to live inside the covers of the word of God. If you take it, sometimes in secret places, and turn the pages over, if so be, you may get instruction in righteousness. And if your petition is in doing so, lead me in thy truth and teach me. The answer is yes. Is the young man safe? Yes. If he desires to possess at all costs some religion that God is the author of, if he is anxious that his life should be governed by what saith the Scriptures, and if he loves to be found among the people of God, and his prayer is with them numbered, may I be now and in eternity. The answer is yes. The young man, the young woman, the youth, the maid who feels like it, is safe. God has begun his good work. He will finish it. Then shall we know, if we follow on, to know the Lord. And there is this viewpoint of it. Is the young man safe? Yes. If sometimes he gets a little help and a little hope filling his breast when he is found in the attitude of worship, when he is among the people of God. Sometimes the hymns that you sing become prayers, because the things the hymn writer desires are what you desire. And can two walk together except they be agreed? There the answer again is yes. Here is another as I come toward the amen. Is the young man safe? Yes. If he longs for the forgiveness of sins. And that is a very sure test. Forgiveness of sins. Oh, how that shines in the esteem of a sinner when he is born again. And viewing this subject of forgiveness of sins, I was rather touched in reading something which I will read to you. I read this many, many years ago. A good old doctor, a number of years ago, when he was dying, asked for his ledger containing the debts outstanding against the people he had attended. And he carefully went through it, and he cancelled those owing by his poor patients, whom he knew would find it difficult to pay. He wrote across each account in red ink, "Forgiven." He was a good man. After his death, his widow determined to go to law to still claim the debts. And when she did, the judge told her there was no law in our land that would allow her to collect a debt which had been forgiven. So it is with the forgiveness of sins. When a poor sinner is favored to realize it, payment God cannot twice demand. First, at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine. Oh, the forgiveness of sins. Is that what some of you dear young people are after? If so be, you might be able to appear before God and feel as you want to feel, that matters are right between him and you. The Lord bless you. The Savior died and by his blood brought rebel sinners near to God. He died to set the captives free and say, "My soul, why not for thee?" And now there is just one thing more I want to say. Is the young man saved? Here is something I read very recently, and I was very pleased with it. Very pleased. A little while ago, Senator Robert Kennedy was visiting the Brazilians on a mission for the United States Parliament. And while he was there, he wanted to talk with some of the Indians who lived in a remote part of the jungle. And he was taken on a visit, and he asked them a number of questions. And he said to one, who was a Christian, but he did not know that, "What is it you like doing most?" Expecting him to say, "Fishing, or hunting, or building, or something like that." And the answer came back, "Being occupied with God." you think that over prayerfully. The poor Indian, the sinner born again, and what he liked doing most, being occupied with God. Do you know what that occupation is? To be occupied with God. That is, not only under Union Chapel roof in the attitude of worship, to come up if so be you can get some good for your soul, but in your everyday life, to look into the Word of God and be occupied with God, whose holy book it is. I seek and hope to find a portion for my soul, and sometimes to turn aside in a secret place to draw near to God and be occupied with Him in that sweet communion which charms the soul and gives true peace and joy. And in everyday life, in whatever means of grace are afforded you to use, oh, this is good, to be occupied with God. The hymn writer says, while we in the means are found, oh, you still have to depend on God to get good therein. Otherwise, there will be just means. You want grace in the means. While we in the means are found, we still alone on thee depend to make the gospel's joyful sound effectual to the promised end. And now, this is why we preach to you, and Union Chapel is carried on like it has been for many years. Why those who love you labour on your behalf in the Sabbath school to show you what saith the Scriptures, that God may bring you to know what this really is in your own soul's experience, that in your everyday life, as you live it, you may know the sweetness, happiness, and mercy, and blessedness of being occupied with God. The Lord help you to think on these things, and bless you. Amen.